The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Can't get enough of my dulcet tones. What exclusive content that you can't find anywhere else, including my take on the real story behind the fake news. Join my cabinet, Gorka's cabinet, today. Go to sebgorka.com, sebgorka.com. Click on the Gorka's cabinet banner and join the most exclusive club out there for content you can't find anywhere else and the knowledge you need. Gorka's cabinet at sebgorka.com.
Please, oh, there he is. There's my guy. Good
thank
job.
You,
how's
President.
Your new show going? Good?
Very well, thank
I
you.
I heard good.
Thank you. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Thank you, Mr. President. We are back coast to coast with America First. Still the newest national radio show on the Salem Radio Network. A very, very special 3 hours for you today. The rest of this hour after our first guest will be dedicated to your questions to my personal physician about medicine, about health, and the Wuhan Chinese coronavirus threat. After our third hour, we're going to transition straight into a special SRN news report on the coronavirus pandemic with my national hosts, my colleagues Hugh Hewitt, Dennis Prager, Mike Gallagher, and our White House correspondent Greg Cluxton. So don't touch the dial, even after 6 p.m. Eastern. But right now, how often does this happen, that you get perhaps one of the most powerful strategic minds in America today available to talk to you from the epicenter of the European spread of this threat, which is, of course, Italy right now? I'm talking of the former Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich. He is the author of a new upcoming book called Shakedown. You can follow him on Twitter at Newt Gingrich. And he is live from Rome. Speaker Gingrich, welcome back to America First.
Well, of course, it's always great to be with you, Sebastian. So I'm thrilled to have this opportunity. And there sure are a lot of things going on.
Well, for those who don't know or who aren't aware of it, I think the last time we met personally was in Rome at the residence of our ambassador to Holy See, who happens to be your wife, Callista Gingrich. Yes. So there's a reason why you're in Rome. So share with us some of the perhaps counterintuitive things that you found in the eternal city that really is struggling right now with the toughest time amongst all our European allies.
Well, let me say, first of all, Callista did remind me that we were thrilled to have you as a guest here, and she was great to see you, and she's doing an amazing job as the ambassador.
Oh, yes.
This is a very challenging, very difficult period, and I'm just watching her and watching her team. I'm very proud of the people who are trying to serve America. I would say a couple things for our friends back home. Rome is a very gregarious city. It is a very tourist-oriented city. It's a city with an amazing number of restaurants.
Yes.
So when I tell you the following, it should give you a sense of scale. Last year, we averaged 23,000 visitors to the Colosseum. Today, there were zero.
Wow.
Every restaurant in Rome is closed. The only places open in Rome today are grocery stores, which, by the way, are fully stocked. They're not like American grocery stores. I don't quite get the difference, but they have everything you want to buy, but they have a very controlled admission policy where, based on the number of square feet in the store, that defines the number of people who can come in.
Interesting.
And so people are very disciplined. I was out the other day and I saw people literally standing 6 feet apart in line, orderly, very un-Italian. I'm amazed at the speed with which the Italian people have adjusted to this reality. So restaurants are, grocery stores are open, pharmacies are open, gas stations are open, nothing else. And There are very strong rules against being on the road without some approved reason. They've issued 8,000 sanctions so far around the country, trying to get people to understand how real this is. And I think there's a pretty decent chance that in the next week to 10 days, we're going to see the virus in Italy begin to sort of flatten out and then gradually start coming down. But it has been a scary process. This is a real pandemic. Calista and I are living right in the middle of a city which is trying to deal with it. And it's truly historic. It's not like politics. I mean, of course, in your own life, you've seen this because you've been in places that were historic. And history is different. It has a different feel from politics. And I can tell you, Rome this week is in a historic place.
Yes, it's. I love that taxonomy that some things can be put down just to, well, this is political, but sometimes events are truly historic in nature. And if anybody understands that, it is our guest, Newt Gingrich. Follow him at Newt Gingrich on Twitter and check out, coming out next week, but you can order it now, his latest book. It is the follow-up to Collusion. It's called Shakedown. If you're looking for something to read to get your mind away from all the craziness, it's a wonderful thriller. Iranian scientists, Russian oligarchs, international assassins. Check out Shakedown right now. We have been seeing, Speaker Gingrich, these viral videos of Italians sequestered in their apartment blocks singing to each other, opera singers trying to raise the morale. You can't judge a country by posts on Twitter. What is your sense in the capital of Italy? What is the morale like? You've described this very un-Italian approach to shopping and being orderly. What's the sense of the spirit of the Italian people?
Well, I have to say that Calista and I both discovered, we've been here many, many times, but when we came here to live with her as the ambassador, we began to realize the Italians are so social. They like people so much. They enjoy dinner. They enjoy talking. I mean, it's a truly wonderful country, and you can see why so many people are so happy when they come to visit. And last year, we had millions of Americans who came here to visit. And I think that what they've tried to do, and in a way that I think is frankly a little more realistic than the Americans, a lot of Americans are still rejecting that they have to change their behavior, that they have to be part of doing something in an orderly way. The Italians looked up and said, this is a real crisis. It's going to kill real people. So I'm going to do my job to be part of it. And then they said, and this is a point my daughter Jackie Cushman wrote about, and I thought it was so brilliant. She said, we should use the term physical distancing, not social distancing.
Mm-hmm.
She said, between laptops and iPads and smartphones, and as you point out, leaning out the window and singing, you can be together even when you're apart. And we don't want you to be isolated and lonely depressed. We want you to find some way in this unusual, truly historic moment. I mean, Calista and I occasionally sit here and we think about the fact, because she's doing an amazing job running an embassy which is right at the center of this. In fact, just played a significant role in helping Franklin Graham and his organization, Samaritan's Post. Or Samaritan's Purse, rather.
Yes.
Move an entire, by Saturday, they will have moved an entire hospital with all of its equipment, all of its volunteers, into the center of the epidemic in northern Italy.
Wow.
To help bring relief to the Italian system. And I watch her on the side, because this is her job, not mine. And I'm watching all these things going on. And what you have a sense of is that the Italians recognize this is very serious, particularly serious because Italy is the second oldest country in the world after Japan. So with a virus which particularly attacks older people, having a serious, honest, society-wide response is going to save a lot of lives, and that's what they're in the middle of.
Your point about physical distancing is so well taken. I'm watching right now as we speak live footage from the cabinet room in the White House where the president is holding one of his coronavirus Wuhan virus response briefings. And I've never seen it like this before. The vice president is speaking right now, and there's at least 5-6 feet between the chairs of everybody at that meeting. So right now in the White House, they're doing what they're doing in the grocery stores in Rome. In the last minute we have with you, Speaker Gingrich, would you care to comment on what you've seen from a distance here in America about the political exploitation of this crisis by certain national figures? Because you were a national figure during a different kind of crisis during a prior impeachment. What do you have to say about what you've seen here, especially when it comes to the Democratic response to what's going on?
Well, look, I think because it's so real, because it involves life and death, because it's a worldwide pandemic, any politician who behaves politically shrinks. So if you want to guarantee that people will hold you in contempt and know that you're not a serious citizen, just be political. And I think, and I've said this to the president personally, the more he can focus as commander-in-chief, the more he and Vice President Pence can stay above the fight, the more they can say to people, look, we got two jobs. Defeat the virus, rebuild the economy. We do those two, they're going to get reelected in a landslide.
Stay.
They fail to do those two, they got a real fight in their hands.
Stay in the fight, rebuild the economy. Wise words from one of the brightest strategic minds out there. God bless you. Keep safe, Newton. Say, give our very, very best for your beautiful wife, our ambassador to the Holy See. We've been talking to Newt Gingrich. Order his new book, Shakedown, today. It'll keep you entertained while you are physically, socially separated from your fellow Americans. Back with my personal physician, Sam Pappas, here on America First. Don't touch that dial.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
How? I'm going to be a little bit of a fanboy now. When you get Newt Gingrich live from Italy, does it get any better than that? Well, it could. Perhaps having somebody available to answer your health questions, your medical questions, somebody I trust. That's the purpose of this hour. So if you need answers to your questions about the coronavirus or health questions in general, call us right now. The number is 833-33-GORKA. That's 833-334-6752. Jeff, unleash the phone lines. Before we get to our very special guest for the rest of the hour, I have to thank all of you who have supported our Food for the Poor efforts. We will do fine. But right now, there are children living in conditions that most Americans couldn't even imagine. Listen, I know it's PBS, but listen to Judy Woodruff on what's happening not far from our southern borders.
Infant mortality rates have fallen dramatically worldwide over the past 25 years. But even as health officials celebrate that achievement, they also warn that those who survive malnutrition frequently face lifelong problems. In the Americas, the situation is most dire in Guatemala, where roughly 50% of the children are so malnourished they are stunted physically and developmentally for life.
50% of the children. How can we not make a difference and help them as modern missionaries? It's so easy. You don't even have to get up out of your chair. Go to my website, click at sebgorka.com on the Feed the Starving Families banner. Any donation, $5, I don't care. Any donation makes a difference. It's all tax deductible, but think of one sum, $80. What can you get for $80? You're going to get food and clean water for a year for one of those malnourished children. Like our good Lord told us, we have to help the children. Please, go to my website, sebgorka.com, click on the Feed the Starving Families banner, or call our friends at 855-330-HOPE. That's 855-330-4673. All right, I promised it to you. I exploited him mercilessly, just like I always do, because I'm one of his patients. He is Dr. Sam Pappas of Pappas Health. Tamara, if you're listening, well, you should be watching, but we both appreciate the text, Tamara. Thank you. I'll make sure he behaves. Dr. Pappas, welcome back to the studio. You were here last week, and we had this idea. You're a medical professional.
Yes.
Well, people could ask questions. So give us a call if you have questions about your situation, about the coronavirus, how to approach these things when it comes to your health. The number is 833-33-GORKA. That's 833-334-6752. In the time since we spoke last week, any big things as far as you're concerned in terms of changes nationally, in terms of personal health? It's still common sense. It's cleanliness. It's surfaces. Anything you've seen in the last week?
Well, you know, I'm intrigued about the data from the Diamond Princess.
Yes, this cruise ship.
Yeah, the cruise ship. So the question is, are we going to be like South Korea or Italy? Are we going to be like Washington and their challenges?
Right.
Or the cruise ship and 3,000 plus patients who are pretty healthy, walking around, well-fed, in a small area.
Yeah.
Only 20% got the virus, which is pretty impressive.
Yes.
Of those 20%, only 6 passed away, so that's, you know, 0.85, so much lower fatality rate than we were expecting, at least in that situation.
And an enclosed vessel.
Now, the challenge is about half were asymptomatic. So that's one of the challenges we face, and we can discuss that.
Is identifying whether somebody's infected.
That's right. That's right. We just can't base it on the symptoms that we all know so well.
And the point that you mentioned, I just want to reiterate this, because we talked about this yesterday. The maths of viruses is really important, the arithmetic of it. And of all those that have died in America, about 40% have come from the same city, from Seattle. So again, this has to give us a certain perspective. Your calls are coming in thick and fast. There's only one line open already. If you have questions for my personal doctor, Dr. Sam Pappas, follow him at Dr. Sam Pappas, P-A-P-P-A-S, right now on Twitter. The number is 833-334-6752. Waiting very patiently since the last hour, not far away in Maryland. Chris, line 2, what question do you have for our good friend Dr. Pappas?
Hey, Dr. G, it's an honor to talk to by far the best voice in radio.
Too kind. The check's in the mail, my friend. The check is in the mail. I will sanitize it. I'll spray Lysol in it, and I'll send you the check.
Well, thank you, sir. It's I don't know how you haven't had this gig for a longer time. I don't understand how anybody hasn't discovered this voice for all these years.
That's too bad.
First of all, is the special at 6 tonight going to be available in the podcast so I can share it with people?
Yes. It'll be available on the podcast. It'll be available live streaming on YouTube, and we will post it on YouTube as well. So if you can't listen to our coronavirus news special that's going to air right after we finish this show, we're going to bring on Dennis Prager, Hugh Hewitt, Mike Gallagher. It will be available free of charge. So absolutely. Great question. Great question, Chris. What would you like to ask the good doctor?
So, Dr. Pappas, my grandfather is currently in the hospital for, as far as we know, something not to do with the Wuhan, and yes, I'll say it, Wuhan coronavirus. But just as a precaution, the hospital decided to test him for the coronavirus because he had flu-like symptoms. It's going to take, according to that doctor, it's going to take them 5 days to get the results. So until we get those results, what would be your recommendation to the rest of us in the family who aren't sure whether or not we've been exposed?
Great question.
To self-quarantine and something of that nature?
Very practical question. Thank you, Chris. Dr. Pappas?
Yeah, I mean, I would presume that until proven otherwise that he's been exposed, because this has been around for a while, and then you guys should act accordingly. So I would not visit him. I'm not sure what the recommendations are right now. I've been talking to my colleagues in the hospitals and the emergency rooms. They're doing a great job, but this is their first time they're seeing all this. The tests are lagging and taking a few days. So I think I would just, you know, stay clear of him until we know otherwise.
Got that there? Are we good?
I've got it. Thank you so much. They're not letting us visit him anyway. They're not letting us anywhere near that hospital, but it's good to know that you agree with that position.
Absolutely. And you should also yourself be on the lookout in case for some reason you had seen him before all this and he was holding on to this virus. So be on the lookout yourself and your home and your family for any of those symptoms like the cough, the fever.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your question.
Thank you very much.
We're out of time in this segment. Good Doctor is going to be with us for the rest of the hour. One question I have for you, and you can think about it in the break because I'm getting this a lot. I had a respiratory issue back in January. I was coughing for a month. I had to get an inhaler. You know well. A lot of people are positing that we've had this for some time, and a lot of people just lived through it and came out the other end. I need to hear your reaction to that hypothesis here on America First with me, Sebastian Gorka. The call board is full. You don't want to miss any one of these questions or the answers from our good friend, Dr. Pappas. If you thought 2016 was important, 2020 is going to be the greatest, most significant election of your lifetime. As a result, we've created a unique additional podcast with our regular guest in studio, former special assistant to President Trump, Boris Epstein. It's called The Battle for 1600. Join us today by subscribing to the podcast for free. Just look for my name, Boris Epstein, and The Battle for 1600.
America First. Magnificent.
We are back with my personal physician. I just love saying that. Dr. Sam Pappas. Follow him on Twitter. Dr. Sam Pappas, who's taking your calls. And the call board is full. Let's go to JJ, our good buddy, line 3 in Orlando. What would you like to ask the good doctor?
Yes, thank you. I'm a nurse, and I have felt that the coughing in the elbow, I just don't feel like it's adequate. It seems like a third of it, the middle third goes in your elbow and another third goes out each side. And I know it's better than nothing, but I just wondered if, you know, I feel like people could work harder to blunt a sneeze. I mean, once in a while you just can't, but 9 times out of 10, I think we could work harder with tissues and paper towels or something to contain it.
So this is the question I had. Is this elbow coughing thing? It kind of seems a little hokey to me. What is the professional opinion?
Well, it's a great question. And again, thanks for your service as a nurse. You know, I think both you and the doctors and
the front line
people. I think it's less bad than what everyone used to do, you know, before all this. But there's a lot of debate how much or how long do these viruses stay on surfaces. So I try to think that...
The latest I heard today is porous surfaces like cardboard and cloth up to 24 hours.
Exactly.
Steel and plastic longer. Could be a couple of days.
That's right. So I'm presuming that, you know, if we're all exposed and are carrying it, that if we're coughing on our elbow, we probably need to decontaminate at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And push the notion of secretion containment. I think people are smart enough to try to contain their secretions. You know,
you got advanced callers.
Yeah, oh, yeah, of course we do. This is America First.
This
secretion
is
containment. We get to secretion containment very quickly in the show.
I wasn't ready for that one.
I don't believe you. JJ, thanks for your great question. God bless you and all of the people who are wearing their scrubs and keeping us safe today. We've got a text question from our friend Kathy. But first, the question I left you with. Is it possible that in January, people like me and others had an early version of corona? We didn't know it because we're younger. We just got through it. A couple of weeks of coughing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it's been around for a long time. You know, when you put together the math about the exposure in Seattle and when that patient zero was and maybe 6 weeks before then, you know, we're big fans of Senator Cotton. He was talking about this back in the day, you know, in December and January. So I believe it's been around and I'm telling my patients and friends to act accordingly as if it's been around and that we have it around us everywhere. We shouldn't be afraid. But we should be on high alert.
Yeah, common sense. Kind of related question. Maybe too early to answer this, given the information we're still waiting for. This is from our friend Kathy. If we already have had the coronavirus, this is a hypothetical, and we are now well, would that show up in a future test for COVID-19? Would we now have antibodies to ward off the virus in the future? Maybe it's too soon to know. What would prior examples with viruses tell us?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And I think the answer is yes. And I think in the rush to talk about a quick, you know, PCR test from the nose or the
mucus,
that these antibody tests, which I think are pretty close, we could do that with a pinprick, with some blood, wouldn't have to be in the hazmat suits, and we'd know right away.
Because right now there's 21 states, this is incredible, 21 states that have set up or are setting up drive-through testing facilities, but they're all the swab type. They
lean in, they
swab the mucus of the inside of the cheek,
right,
and that's a different level of accuracy.
Exactly, about 3 to 5 day duration. I don't know if you heard, Sebastian, but Arlington now is going to do it as well.
I did.
So, you know, we're coming around finally to the rest of America.
All right, let's go to Ray in Livermore. Oh, hang on. Ray, we're going to hold because we've only got a minute left in this segment. Don't go anywhere, Ray. You're one of our best buddies. We will get to you in a second. In the meantime, don't forget, as soon as we are done here at 6 p.m., we're going to transition. I'm going to stay in the chair, but Hugh Hewitt's going to join me in studio. Dennis Prager, Mike Gallagher, and our White House SRN correspondent Greg Cluxton will be with us for our one-hour special, the Coronavirus Pandemic SRN News Special Report. So if you're listening to us terrestrially, it's probably going to transition straight over for that next hour, our special report, and also YouTube. We're going to continue streaming, and also on Facebook. And don't forget that you can get all of this. We're not going to put this behind a paywall. On the podcast, on Instagram TV. So right after this America First show ends, we're going to transition into our SRN News special on the corona epidemic. This is America First. I'm Sebastian Gorka. Right now we are broadcasting from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor, I know you have a choice, but let me give you what I have done. If you suffer from daily pain, daily aches, whatever it is, in my case, it started off as a lower back pain issue that I had suffered from for 9 years, almost a decade. But then I took Relief Factor. 2 weeks later, I was pain-free, and that was 15 months ago, and I'm still pain-free. Recently, I had knee surgery, pretty serious. You know, they drilled into my knee, and I stopped taking the regular synthetic painkillers as fast as I could. And instead, I doubled up, I tripled up on my Relief Factor, and wow, I am so grateful because it works. This is a natural product that doesn't dull the pain by affecting the pain receptors, but it attacks the cause of the pain, which is the inflammation. Tens of thousands of Americans are taking it right now. Don't just take my word for it. See their incredible video testimonials at ReliefFactor.com, and then find out for yourself if it can work for you by ordering the 3-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. What have you got to lose? You deserve to be the next success story. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. The president says it at his rallies in a slightly different context, but I'm going to use it here. What have you got to lose? You deserve to find out. $19.95, ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Back with your questions for the good doctor here on America First.
The antidote to fake news. America First.
Also from Kathy, thank you. This is from the Daily Mail. The mayor of Baltimore, Jack Young, has publicly pleaded with the citizens of Baltimore to put their guns down. Why? In one night, 7 people were shot. And he says, can we keep the beds in the hospitals free for coronavirus patients? Yeah, that's the insanity. That's Baltimore. I wonder who's been running that city. We are back with our friend, Dr. Sam Pappas, taking your calls. And I promise we'd go to Ray in Livermore, our good buddy. Line 2, Ray, you had a good question for the good doctor.
Yes, Dr. G, thank you for your show. And thank you for making your doctor available to us. Well, I appreciate it.
Well, it's not my decision. I thank him.
Oh, it's a blast. Hi, Ray.
I had one question, but if I can squeeze in two. Tucker Carlson reported that there's a throwback thing that they're using that was used in 1918 during the Spanish flu, where they developed a serum using patients who had survived that flu to help patients who were suffering it. I sent you a link on the text line.
Thank you.
If you want to look at that. The question I called with was, Dr. Gupta does a little radio blurb every morning.
Yes.
And a couple of days ago, he said that if you have a virus, you cannot catch another virus. So if you have the cold, you cannot catch the flu, or the other way around. If that's true, shouldn't we be giving each other the common cold as much as possible as a protective measure against this flu?
Does one virus protect you from another virus?
You know, I've heard that, and I don't believe so. You know, I see countless patients.
Why would it?
Exactly. I mean, these viruses are often short-lived. You know, one of the common questions is, you know, virus versus bacteria. You asked that before, and I think that was a great question. The majority of infections from winter into early spring are viral infections. Right. But is it a common cold, which can be a virus, or is it the flu? You know, now we're seeing a decrease in actual flu, but an uptick in respiratory symptoms, right? So that tells us that this is COVID. So I'm not sure about that. And your earlier point was a really, really good one. John Hopkins is discussing that as well. I think that's a great idea.
The old school way of approaching it.
Old school, you know. So levers of technology. You know, I think about Alexander the Great going around the obstacle, you know, really not waiting from up above in protocols. So I think that's a great idea. And I know when Hopkins mentions it, that it should be considered.
All right. If it's worked in the past, it may work again. Thank you, Ray. Let's go to Rob in Maryland, line 4. Welcome, Rob.
How you doing?
Good.
As a corrections officer in a large state prison, are there any models or predictions on what the Chinese coronavirus will do? We have a largely an aging inmate population over the years due to harsh sentences for violent felons. You have immune compromised individuals with HIV and hepatitis.
Yes.
You have individuals that have abused their bodies for years with drugs. And a second part would be, what are the infectious disease control professionals telling the prisons in order to ameliorate the issue?
This is a great question. Thank you for your service, Rob. I've heard that one municipality is on the brink of releasing nonviolent offenders from holding cells as a result of the coronavirus preparations. Are there any studies in terms of viral infections in closed facilities like prisons?
You know, most of them aren't in prisons. They're in things like the military and in colleges, for example. So I think we need to extrapolate, but that's a great question. I think the prisons have not gotten enough attention. You know, the nursing homes are starting to get attention.
Schools, it's a hard place to do a medical study, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Right?
I mean, so really hats off. And I think it's a great idea to say, listen, let's maybe make some changes here to help. But I think for the work that you do, yeah, I think you need to presume that everyone's immune system there is poor, that they're probably going to get it and pass it around very quickly. And again, an important concept is this is mostly respiratory. Respiratory is the big problem. We know it's contact, but it's respiratory and close contact and proximity that causes the infection. So you want to be hopefully wearing a mask. Hopefully they get that for you and just be very close, careful about being too close.
And we have to note here that this is a very unique population because, as he said, in many cases, this will have a disproportionately high level of immunocompromised individuals.
So that's right.
Taking anything from a prison population and extrapolating it to the broader population would be a risky thing to do.
Yeah, that's why I think you have the Diamond Princess and then you have the prisons, right?
Right, right.
You have the Diamond Princess and
right.
You have Seattle.
Very good. Let's go to Yvonne in Pittsburgh. My gosh, you have a lot of questions and we're here to serve you. Line 3. Hi, Yvonne.
Hi, Dr. Pappas. Thank you for taking my question. My question is, since this is a respiratory virus going around and they encourage seniors to get a pneumonia shot, would that offer any form of protection at all?
You know, that's a very, very good question. You're a group here, I'm telling you. So what happens is people who get ill from the COVID, it's not the viral infection, it's the pneumonia that gets them. So there's a lot of discussion that pneumonia vaccine is probably pretty good. There are trials that came out of Korea and China said that a lot of them got antibiotics as well as the antiviral
For secondary infections.
Exactly. Right. So I think it's a good idea. You know, will it work fast enough is a question. The flu vaccine is also something else very similar. Will it work fast enough? But I think both of those are very good ideas to have in place, especially if you're over 65, have chronic lung problems, or have sinus problems?
Wow, great questions. Let's squeeze in one more in this segment. Let's go to Cynthia in California. Line two, welcome, Cynthia. You want some special advice from the good doctor. You've got 60 seconds.
Okay, I just want to know, I'm concerned about, I know all the precautions, and thanks to you, Dr. Gorka and Dr. Pappas today. But I'm concerned. My blood pressure is way up. I hear the news. I live alone. I'm 74. And my heart rate goes up. Is there anything you recommend? Like, I don't know, a tea I can drink, something to stay calm, because stress is a killer.
So the stress, what can we do about
stress?
That's
a great point.
Switch off the TV?
Yeah, absolutely, except for the
Sebastian
radio. Show.
Stay on the radio.
Yeah, on YouTube for Sebastian Show. And then, so you really want to, you know, exercise daily. Reading a book turns off the brain. You know, make sure.
Such simple advice.
Simple stuff. Getting some sun.
I do it every morning because of you. Get some sun.
Excellent.
Relax, read a book. Is there anything you could take? Is like tea, chamomile?
Yeah,
is that non-caffeinated teas?
Yeah, they're all good. I don't know if they're as good as Sebastian's tea that he drinks, you know, from England.
That's highly caffeinated.
The special stuff. But I also would be careful about anti-inflammatories, because we now think that they're not good for this infection. And we know anti-inflammatories like Advil are not good for blood pressure as well. So I'm sure you're doing fine, but if you have some pain, I probably would go to Tylenol and not to Advil or Aleve.
Okay, Tylenol, sunshine, switch the TV off, and read a book. It's just common sense. Stay healthy, Cynthia. We'll be back with the good doctor in a moment. We're broadcasting from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor. Relief Factor is different. It's not synthetic. It's not bad for your gut. It doesn't hide the pain by attacking the receptors. It attacks the source of the pain. If you're suffering with daily pain, can I just recommend one thing? Try the 3-week quick starter pack. It's less than a dollar a day. It's $19. And I guarantee you, Dr. G's guarantee, if you take it for 3 weeks, morning and evening, as do I, you will know at the end if it works for you like it works for me and tens of thousands of other Americans. Relief Factor is popular for a very good reason. See the testimonials at ReliefFactor.com and then ask yourself, is a dollar a day worth it for me to find relief? You know it is. You deserve it. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Don't hesitate. Be the next success story. Back with your questions for the good doctor here on America First, 833-334-6752.
Portions of America First are brought to you by Food for the Poor.
Now more than ever, it's important to be well rested. Please, please take the incredibly kind offer from our buddy, guest host on America First, Mike Lindell, the biggest discount he's ever offered if you use my name, his premium MyPillows, 60% off if you go to MyPillow.com. Call 800-829-8468. That's 800-829-8468. There's a reason he sold 45 million of them. Let's go to line two. Tom in San Diego, what's your question for Dr. Pappas?
Hey, son just got back from Europe. He kind of escaped out of there at the last minute, and he lives in a house with 9 other people, and he was told to self-quarantine. How the heck is this supposed to work?
Yeah, that is a tough one. Well, where in Europe did he come from?
He was traveling all over there. He was in Greece and Istanbul and Austria, Germany, Italy, everywhere.
Yeah, so I mean, I would presume that, you know, because they're ahead of the curve from us, that he's probably gotten exposed. And, you know, if he has a separate room and a separate bathroom, but it's going to be very, very difficult. I'd have a very low threshold if he has any respiratory symptoms to get him taken a look at. And I probably, yeah, if I were you guys, would I'm sorry?
He has no symptoms at
Great.
All. I mean, he's upset that he even has to be quarantined.
Yeah, this younger generation, you know, I don't think they always get it.
Right. Yeah.
So I'd be careful yourself. Hopefully you're in good shape, you and your family. But I'd be careful and have a higher suspicion if you don't feel well.
All right. Thank you, Tom. Let me just translate one of our questions because we're running out of time. Tom in Cleveland says his neck hurts, he's coughing, and his chest hurts. Do I have coronavirus?
You know, the neck symptoms aren't associated with it. So when neck, you worry about other infections. I think anything respiratory, especially if there's a fever, has to be looked at.
So right now it's fever and coughing and respiration. These are the signs that we should write.
That's right.
And it's important because we're seeing all kinds of famous people get testing. If you're asymptomatic, don't get a test because there are people who need the tests.
For now. We're hoping that it becomes available.
Well, when the trial test says this is right, that started Monday. But right now the priority is especially the elderly.
Yeah, and for Tom in Cleveland, I mean, I would have him call his doctor because he needs to be, you know, at least talked to, if not. I don't know if his doctor does telemedicine.
All right, so Jeff, will you get on the line, tell Tom it's probably not what he suspects, but his doctor needs to check him out. This has been an incredible hour. We may have to do this again if Tamara's going to let you, if the boss is going to let you out. We've been talking to my physician. I'm so grateful to him. I hope you are too. I think by the number of calls, the great questions, you clearly are. Follow this man on Twitter for updates. Dr. Sam Pappas, P-A-P-P-A-S of Pappas Health. Thank you so much, Doctor.
Thanks for having me.
We are back with our annual update from our West Coast warrior princess, Jennifer Horn, here on America First. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, don't touch that dial and stay tuned all the way through for our special that starts 6 p.m. Eastern.